Hey, it's Daniel Tardy. Thanks for listening to the Entree Leadership Podcast. Did you know that the lessons taught by Dave in this podcast are a part of our Entree Leadership Master Series event? Join us at our next event to hear the entire Entree Leadership curriculum in person. This is a special edition at our office in Nashville, Tennessee, May 5th through the 11th. To get more details or to register, give us a call at 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223. Or check out the Master Series event at entreeleadership.com.
Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. On today's show, Dave talks about the keys to successful communication. Not just communication, successful communication. On top of that, we have got a great interview with a business owner who is in the trenches as we speak. CEO and founder of Delano's Coffee Roasters, David Morris. David has grown Delano's from $120,000 in annual sales to over $23 million and has established an incredible company culture along the way. Who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo, and I am your host for the Entree Leadership Podcast. Last episode, we shared a lesson from Dave about selling by serving. We also had a great interview that you guys absolutely loved by author and sales coach Lisa McLeod. Joined us live in the studio. If you haven't heard that, make sure that you go back and hear that. Today, Dave shares a lesson about communication. Communication, as we say here, is the map to the party. If you don't have a map, you don't get to have any fun. It's that important. This lesson has some key takeaways that will help you to improve your communication with your team. So here is Dave Ramsey on communication.
Communication, the map to the party. Winning organizations must have a culture of communication. Well, duh. Everybody knows that. Why is it that nobody does it well? Well, the reason is we're not intentional enough about it. High-quality organizations have high levels of communication. And truthfully, most companies suck at this. Big companies, large companies, small companies, medium-sized companies, churches, nonprofits, whatever you're doing, it's amazing. You could put two people in a room and have problems with communication. Now, the DISC stuff that Chris just went through helps you realize why that is, because never the two shall meet in some of these things, and you've got to be mature enough to rise above it and look at the differences and work on that. If you don't, you have this thing happening, and you have no idea what's going on. People are saying words, and they're walking past you, but there's no connectivity. The ball is not being moved forward. Communication is the map to the party. Business is a party. Dealing with your customers is a party. This is a fun process. We're here to help people make money doing it. We're here to move the ball forward. There's a party going on. But if you ever, man, I'll tell you what, just the other night at the house, we were having a dinner party, and we moved into we built a home in a new neighborhood so it doesn't show up on people's GPSs. And so this poor guy was in from out of town, and he said, I'll just plug in the GPS. I mean, 30 minutes later, I'm talking him in on the cell phone, you know. And so he gets to the party at our house about 45 minutes late, which was fine. It wasn't a big deal. But I've been on the other side of that, you know, because if it's me, by the time I get there, I'm so pissed off I can't eat, you know. Can't get there. So it's the map to the party, and that's the way people feel. There's this tremendous amount of frustration if you're trying to get somewhere that you don't even know where it is, much less how to get there. You don't know those details. And so when you've got a detailed map, a turn-by-turn-by-turn thing, I mean, and we're not talking MapQuest here. MapQuest is wrong most of the time. We're talking the real deal where you really can walk your way in there. Then you can show up on time. The stress level is done. Everything happens. It's coordinated. It's orchestrated together. The thing becomes fun. The stress level in the organization goes way down as the communication goes up. Here's the problem. Communication takes time. It takes up time. It takes up productivity. You could be making a widget. You could be delivering a widget. You could be doing something that seems more important. So this is kind of one of those quad two things that aren't urgent but are important. The intentional communication systematically that we're going to walk you through that we use will change the culture of your organization. It'll change the way the place breathes. But it takes time out of the quote unquote productive stuff. The truth is, though, it makes you a ton more productive because we're all on the same page. When everyone has a copy and the directions make sense, everyone shows up at the party and it's a blast. When in doubt, overshare, over-communicate. One of the things we do is we have a staff meeting every Monday morning. All 315 people are there. It's mandatory. You don't book sales calls across it. You don't book your dentist appointment across it. If you have a family emergency, it's the only reason you're not there if you're on vacation. I'm not there yesterday or today. Today's Monday. But other than that, we're there. You know, Monday morning, you're there. And probably 90% of the staff meetings I conduct. And so we walk through and we communicate. We talk about a lot of different things. One of the things we'll do is we'll have the leaders of each of the VPs of each of the departments or things that are going on stand up, talk about good things that are going on, talk about bad things that are going on. Here's a win we had. Here's a loss we had. It's not just a fake hyped up rah-rah session, but we really stand up because in a company our size very quickly and as diversified in what we do, you know, we've got so many different things we do from high school curriculum on one side all the way to working in prisons on another. And so, you know, how does one of those know what the other one's doing? And new products that are being launched and things that are being whiteboarded and all that kind of stuff. And so what we do is we overshare. I figured out from being on the other side of this that not knowing is a bigger problem than knowing, even if there's problems. Like, for instance, a couple of years ago, I told you about, you know, sales went down in a couple of areas. Now, the overall company went down a little and then came back up, and overall, we were up 3% year over year by the time we got through Q3 and Q4. But Q1 and Q2 were really bad. First two quarters of the year were really bad. I'm having a frank discussion in there. I'm going, guys, I can treat you guys like children, and I can act like nothing's going on. I'm not in here to announce layoffs. I'm not doing anything like that. I'm just telling you we have revenue lines that are going down, and we have expense lines that are going up. And so we're going to do two things. One is you're going to kick that revenue line up, and the second thing is you're going to kick those expenses down, because if those lines cross, boys and girls, we're going to have a problem because we don't borrow money here. And so we're going to have a problem. We've got to stop those lines from crossing. And we're all in here as a team together, and I'm going to talk to you about this stuff. So we just talk. We over-communicate. If it's a little bit awkward to bring something up and it feels a little weird and there's kind of this, you know, it's kind of like icky. If I got to talk about something icky, I just say, this is just bad. This is uncomfortable to talk about, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Because not knowing makes it worse. When they don't know, whatever it is, it's 20 times worse in their head. The fear increases, the stress increases, and they start to question, you know, your integrity. You are not their parents. You are not paternal when it comes to communication. Communication is peer-to-peer. And it's, I'm going to treat you like you can carry the weight of this. And so I'm going to share the weight of this. Some companies use mushroom communication with their team members. They leave them in the dark and feed them manure. So try not to do that one.
So here's the question I have for you. How solid, how sure are you about the communication inside your business? Some of you are going, well, I know my leaders don't talk. They don't share enough information. So let me ask you this question. How solid are you about your communication? About 11 years ago, I implemented a meeting for my team. I have been leading people for over 20 years. Started when I was 12. Thanks.
Sorry,
Becky.
I probably wasn't supposed to laugh right then.
That's perfect. That's great. Thanks, Becky. I did not start when I was 12, as you can tell by Becky's laugh. I started leading people, and I got to a point where I wanted to know how effective is my leadership being. And so I implemented a meeting where I allowed my team members to come in and talk to me and tell me what's wrong with me. Yeah, go ahead and give that meeting a try. And I pulled in the very first person that I ever hired at Dave Ramsey's organization, Teresa Duke, who is still the sales team leader in that area. And I sat her down and I said, this meeting is not about you. This is about me. You can say whatever you want. I want to know how I'm being good, how I'm being bad as a leader. And without skipping a beat, she said, Chris, your communication stinks. Which I was pretty happy with that because I was afraid it was going to be a lot worse than that. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, you know this stuff over here with the thing that's going on? I said, yeah. She goes, we have no clue. I said, really? She goes, yeah, we don't know anything about it. And I said, well, I just assumed that you did. She said, Chris, that's the problem. You always assume that we know what's going on inside of your head. That started me on a path of making sure that every single time I was communicating with my team, I was going the extra mile, asking all kinds of questions. Does this make sense? Do you have enough information here? Is there anything I'm leaving out? Is there anything you don't know or don't understand? Now, am I the greatest communicator on the planet? No. Am I 1,000 miles further along than I was? Abso-stinking-lutely. So check yourself. Ask yourself that question. And if you really want to find out, ask your team. They will definitely let you know. Moving on. Our interview today is with David Morris. He is the CEO of Delano's Coffee Roasters. He is the co-author of two books, Brewing a Creative Culture and Brewing a Hot Brand. He is also a member of the Young Presidents Association. David and his family have built their roasting company from $120,000 in annual sales to over $23 million in yearly sales today. They have won numerous awards for fastest growing company, best place to work, including the number one place to work in the South Sound for 2012. And they were named Roast Magazine's Roaster of the Year for 2011. So please do me a huge favor and welcome to the show, David Morris. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Dude, it's so good to have you on because, and I'll just share with people how you and I got connected. One day I looked up and you had followed my Facebook and I noticed when I looked at yours, you were jumping off like a balcony. Your picture had you jumping out. It was like a stuntman deal.
Right.
Do you actually do stuntman stuff?
I actually was a bicycle stunt rider, and Evel Knievel was always kind of my idol.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll get into that whole story on how that led to coffee here in a few
minutes. Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy to look at this and go, all right, well, here's something I love. Here's somebody who roasts coffee. And so I believe I'd sent you a message saying, hey, how can I buy some of your stuff? Because it wasn't local here, or at least it wasn't on the shelves here. And didn't hear anything for about a week. Next thing I know, I had a box of coffee. All different kinds, mugs, everything. And I was just blown away. And I think that started off a good relationship that you and I have had now for probably, what, over a year, right?
Yep, exactly.
I think it's been about that long. So I am glad to have you on the show. But I wanted to start out with you saying, tell us about Delano's and how it got started.
Okay. Well, as I mentioned, I used to actually be a professional bicycle stunt rider. I actually dropped out of high school to become a professional bicycle stunt rider. So I would go around to schools and do assemblies, kind of motivational assemblies, talk about goal setting and, you know, different things like that. That's kind of how I learned to sell, which got me into business. Because here I am, this 18-year-old kid, and me and my partner would go around and sell these principles on PNS $400 for a half-hour show of me basically having fun on the gym floor for other kids.
It's pretty impressive,
that got
actually.
Me hooked on the, yeah, that got me hooked on the whole business bug. So I wanted to go into business, and my stepdad said, you know, I'll help you get into business. I'll give you $35,000 or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. So I was originally going to do probably a bike shop because I was so into, you know, the whole BMX thing. But then my brother, who was 16 at the time, he was working at one of these coffee carts that's in front of a grocery store, and he was telling me about how much money this guy that owns this cart is making, and it's just crazy how many customers he has every day and all this kind of stuff. So I went to the cart that was in front of the Nordstrom here in Tacoma, and I ordered a vanilla latte, and that thing was so creamy and smooth and sweet, and I was thinking, man, this is going to be a big thing. So we bought an espresso cart and put it in front of my stepfather's convenience store up in Buckley, Washington, which is a really small logging town, and that's how we got started.
Dude, that is crazy. First off, I got to say, props to stepdad for giving up $35,000. That's a pretty sweet deal.
No kidding.
Hey, what's his phone number, by the way?
Nah. Yeah, exactly.
So what I know, because you've blessed me with the a lot of coffee, which is I have drunk very happily. I know what's great about it. Tell people what separates Delano's apart from all other coffee roasters.
I would say besides exceptional coffee, because of course that's just getting into the game. Our big thing is we're mainly a wholesale roasting company. We do sell coffee over the internet to individuals, but mostly most of our business, that's only 5% of our business. So 95% of our business is wholesale to coffee houses and drive-thrus in all 50 states and several countries and different things like that. And what makes us different is that we align ourselves with that small retailer and become more of a partner to them. And we offer them customized training and education and branding. And in some cases, we have actually came up with the name of the business and the logo, the branding, and all that stuff. We have 3 full-time artists in-house that, you know, make posters for them and menus. And so we actually partner with them to help increase their volume because, of course, that, you know, they sell more beans and it's better for us. When I had the coffee cart, I always wondered why I was using a roaster in Seattle at the time, and I always wondered why they weren't up here more often. I'm going through a fair amount of volume. All they are selling me coffee. They're not telling me how to increase my sales or anything like that. So I vowed that when I started a roasting company, which was my plan sort of from the start, that I would make it more focused on their business.
And people listening to this right now are going, "What? Why are we just talking about coffee?" Well, there's a specific reason. Ever since you and I connected in the early days, way back when, there's one thing that stood out. You and I started conversing back and forth about business, all that kind of fun stuff. And the one thing that just absolutely jumped out at me was your company culture.
Right.
So what is culture to you, and what does it look like at Delano's?
Okay, I would say, my definition would be say that it's just, you know, simply the personality of the company. It's who we are. It's the way we think. It's what guides our behavior and actions and all that kind of stuff. And ours is an extremely open and authentic atmosphere that is almost, it's not impossible because I'll try to explain it, but it's hard to explain just over the phone. So I called one of our customers last night and I said, "Hey, can you give me an example of how would you describe Delano's culture?" And he just wrote a couple sentences here, and I was going to just read them really super quick. Is that okay?
Definitely.
Okay. His name's Brian Reynolds. He's an Entree Leadership listener as well.
Sweet.
He owns a shop called Anthem here in the local area. Says, "When you walk into Delano's, you're immediately drawn in by the smells of freshly roasted coffee and a warm and sincere greeting from someone you feel like you've known forever, but you've only interacted with a handful of times. As other team members walk through the lobby area, they go out of their way to make you feel welcome and that you're part of something larger than your own store. Delano's simple mission statement, help people make friends, have fun, seems to be completely adopted by every team member and fleshed out on a daily basis. From day one, they have provided heroic hospitality, service that goes beyond anything that we've ever asked, and we've always felt taken care of as if we were the only customer that Delano's has." So I thought, now I'm going to use that as a testimonial, of course,
heck,
in our brochures
yeah.
and website. But that kind of sums up the deal. But I'll give a couple examples. You said at the beginning that I have a book called Brewing a Creative Culture. And that is, while it's co-authored by me, it's mainly authored by employees. So my idea was to have each employee write a chapter that describes our culture and defines it. That way we have a documented version of our culture as a book that you can, of course, buy on Amazon or whatever. But it was mainly for ourselves that we wrote the book in the first place, just to document what makes our culture special. So, I mean, and of course it starts with a hiring process. I mean, like your organization, I've heard a lot, we have a purposely super rigorous hiring process with the Delano's 22 kind of being the heart of it, and it's our own collection of 22 unique questions that are designed to determine their fit within our culture. Things like, what's the most creative thing you've done in the past 12 months? On that one, we're actually just looking for them to say anything creative and not be boring, because we don't hire someone who doesn't have a creative bone in their body. Resourcefulness is a huge, creativity and resourcefulness are probably our biggest focuses here. And then describe a situation where your honesty was tested. Again, this is based on one of our core values, and everyone's honesty is tested at times, even if no one's looking. So we want to hear an example of what that.
I like that. Now, how do you keep it? Because you've even got videos online of your culture, which
right.
I love watching. How do you keep your culture positive and energetic? Because it just looks like you guys, obviously you have a lot of coffee in you probably, but
that helps.
How do you keep it so positive and energetic?
Well, we actually have a culture club, and that is a committee that's created and formed specifically to keep our core values and mission statement relevant and to make sure the culture is constantly being focused on, and they're responsible for doing all our planned events from our annual summer barbecue to our pickleball tournament. You know what pickleball is?
I've got no clue, man.
Okay.
No clue.
You have a wooden racket, and it's like a wiffle ball. It's kind of like tennis, only on a smaller court.
Oh, okay.
I think it's kind of a Northwest thing, but they have videos on YouTube and like professional associations and stuff. But anyway, we have an annual tournament. It's awesome. We have impromptu dodgeball tournaments against the company across the street.
Nice.
Lots of food parties, lots of foosball tournaments. And when we do these things, these parties, we don't just, it's not just, hey, we're going to have this little party. Our art department makes like a full professional, like posters, and they're plastered everywhere. And I mean, it's like, you know, Madison Avenue quality stuff. And it's really fun. Also, we have an opt-in email prayer group. And whenever we have a crisis with one of our team members, which happens time to time, we get together in a room and have a prayer meeting for them. And that's been a real bonding experience for people. And it's, as far as I'm concerned, has created some real miracles here. And then another thing I did a while back, which is kind of a fun thing, is I had a rolling desk. And it was a desk on wheels. And I would go into each department. I would stay there for a week or two, and I'd get a general idea of what I'm missing by sitting in my office, which is a lot. Yes. So I'm rolling around finance department and the customer service department downstairs in the lobby. I probably learned the most in the lobby, but I learned a lot from that. And I think the biggest thing I learned was a few things that our employees are even nicer to customers than I thought they were, which was a great insight to find out. And again, that our employees are even nicer to each other than I even thought they could be, which was another nice trait found out. And then the other thing is that communication, no matter how much you do, it still does not get communicated to the masses. Communication has got to be the number one problem for companies everywhere, because we pride ourselves on this great culture and this great, you know, great company we've built over these 21 years, and still communication is something that we still have to every day keep it top of mind and over-communicate.
I love it. I love it. Now, I've been able to see some of your videos on some of your team meetings as well. Looks like it's a blast.
How appropriate were they?
I thought it was great. You have this great family.
Our core values, professionalism and being appropriate, are not necessarily one of our 11 core values. We do our best, but we also have a lot of fun too and get a little crazy. So
I love it. Now, explain your mission statement and what it means.
Okay. Mission statement is just simply help people make friends and have fun. And it's just kind of a quick glance on how we live. I don't believe in the long, super long mission statements that go on a wall that everyone blah, 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 it's a corporate thing that no one ever does. So it's just a quick thing that everyone remembers, help people make friends and have fun. Help people means just taking an active role and, you know, insisting our customers and each other. Making friends is, we don't frown on employees becoming friends and doing things after work and different things like that, and become friends with our customers as well. And then having fun, of course, we truly want everyone to enjoy their job. So, and you notice the mission statement doesn't say anything about profit, and that's because we believe that if we are helping people, making friends, having fun, and following our 11 core values, that the profits will come and our employees will prosper and we will prosper.
Absolutely. It's Rabbi Daniel Lappin talks about that all the time. If you help enough people, then everything else will fall into place. Oh, gosh, it was solid. Ah, loved it. Now, you've got 11 core values. And I'm not going to go through each one of these, but I do want to hit on some of these, because there's a lot of companies out there that are where you were when you started. A lot of people that are listening. We got leaders. We got entrepreneurs. We got some that are where you are now as well. But I think one of the things I love about this company is you guys just don't – you haven't put it together like everybody else has. The staunch, specific, it's everything's tight. You guys are very loose over there. You have a lot of fun. You have a lot of excitement. And I think that is what has drawn me to you, is this culture that just says, listen, it's not just about the dollar. It's about, this is living. This is what we do for living. So exactly. I wanted to pop through a couple of these and just kind of have you drill down on these. Obviously, you've got always possess honesty and integrity, which is a fantastic thing. But your number two is give our customers more than they expect. What does that mean?
Exactly. What that means is that we always, everyone says it, but we go the extra mile. So everyone says it, but we, and I'm not saying they don't do it, but we go to extraordinary lengths to make sure that happens. Jack Canfield has a book, The Success Principles. Great book, by the way. He featured a story about us going the extra mile in his book. And it's a story where, back in the early days, we got an account, and It was called It's a Grind, and they had two stores at the time. And then we became friends with the guy and this kind of deal. So anyway, so he has two stores, but he has big plans for the future, he tells us, which everyone tells us that. But, you know, we take it at face value and we believe it. So there was a strike, I think it was 1997 or 98, I can't remember exactly, but there was a strike. UPS had a strike. And FedEx wouldn't take us on as a customer because they were overwhelmed, and we had heard that the post office was overwhelmed, and you can't run a business that's a coffee house without coffee. So what I did,
it's a little difficult.
For 2 weeks in a row, I loaded up my car. I'd actually had to use a trailer because there was so much coffee, but I loaded up my car with a little trailer, and I drove down from Seattle to Long Beach, California, which is a 24-hour gig, and dropped off his coffee, went back. The next week, same thing. By then, the strike was worked out, and we had it all worked out. But that extra mile thing led to Marty Cox, who was the CEO at the time, went from the two stores to, at his highest point, up to 150 stores.
Wow.
And we had the count all then. It got bought out by a conglomerate since then, and we've lost the business. But, I mean, the point was that we going that extra mile really worked out well for us.
You spent some of your personal time, and it got you a ton in return. And I know you weren't looking at two small stores going, oh, my gosh, there's a gold mine here. You were taking care of people, and it turned out to be a fantastic return on that. I love that. Number six is embrace change and reevaluate systems. Talk about that.
Well, there's two phrases you'll never hear here, and one is we've always done it that way.
Mm.
And the other is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Because we believe, and we've ingrained in our people like psychopaths, that there's always a better way. That goes along with being resourceful, too, because they say they can't do it. And it's like, yeah, you can do it. There's always a way to do it. Always. Mm-hmm. So we believe nothing is impossible. And that is what it is.
I absolutely love that, because there are so many people that don't even understand that. Even just saying that right now, there's some people like, I can't imagine what that would even look like.
Right, I know.
Because so many
companies... Yeah, go ahead.
Just so many companies are focused on, hey, let's get something that works, put it in place, and then hopefully that's going to work that way for the next 30 years.
Exactly, and it doesn't. Things change.
Next one I love is communicate clearly and openly. Now, again, you hear that and you go, well, of course, but that just doesn't happen. Why is that so important?
Yeah. Why is it so important? Every time we do an employee survey, communication comes up on the thing. And again, like I said earlier, we think we're doing so good at it, and then people don't, stuff just doesn't get down the road. I think a huge mistake that leaders make is that we're sitting in this office, me and my brother and our executive vice president, talking specifically about some kind of an issue or an issue with a person or something like that. And we talk three or four times, and we assume by magic that they're hearing us talk about it, which they're not. And then they're blowing, like, we come out of left field when we address the issue because we're kind of like already kind of frustrated about it, even though we should have dealt with it from the beginning. And it's like, it's insane. It's like by magic, they're going to understand exactly what we're talking about. So, again, that's our biggest struggle and one of the biggest mistakes that we make, but we are constantly working on it, and we'll continue to improve and go from there.
That is something that I absolutely struggled with early on in my leadership. I found I always thought that everybody knew what I thought, and I started putting a meeting together where I would allow my team members to tell me what's wrong with me.
I did the exact same thing. I went around to like 30 people just in different departments because I wanted to get kind of a vast different of opinion. And basically it came back, I asked for my strengths and my weaknesses, that's it. And you don't have to be anonymous, hand it back to me. And the key to these things too is that if you hand them these things, you're asking them to evaluate you, and you react really defensively when you give them back, they're never going to write anything down again.
Never.
So the key is to be able to, right off the bat, have them, the key is trust.
Yeah.
So, that they trust you, that you're really going to look at it, and you're going to, change the bad and, emphasize the good. So anyway, I sent it out, and of course, my bad basically was that I come into a room like a tornado and just crazy style and leave there and then maybe don't even follow up or follow through kind of thing. This is a few years ago, but you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, and my positive was that I come in and, you know, the culture kind of thing. I come in, right, and say hi to everyone. I'm going around slapping people's back, saying, how's it going? How's your cat, or, you know, whatever I do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Number 10, be friendly and have a sense of humor. Now, when you see that, that's not something that you normally see in somebody's core values. In fact, if you talk to a bunch of leaders, they're probably going to say, yeah, I'm not really concerned about that. I'm concerned about all of the core things that make a business operate. The crazy thing, this is part of it. So explain that.
Okay. Let's see. An example of that would be every new our receptionists move up quickly into the sales department or into the customer service department. So while I think it's like the most important job at Delano's because they greet every single person that walks through the door, and I learned how important it was when I had my rolling desk downstairs, well, I think that they do kind of cycle through because they move up in the company. But one of my deals is I always we have a balcony, you know, like the one I'm jumping off of in
right.
on the Facebook picture.
Yeah.
And so her desk is right below. So I pour water on the head of every single receptionist as kind of a welcome to Delano's hazing. So it's kind of a fun thing. And then a sales example would be like, we had a customer that was in Annapolis, Maryland, and he had 6 stores, and he had been with his current roaster for 10 years, and we said, you know, we want your business, blah, 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 here's what we'll do for you, and all this kind of stuff. So one time he came back and said, you know, I like the carrot that you're dangling out in front of me, but I've just been with my current roaster, and I just don't know if I can do it. So from then on, every proposal and new proposal we'd send him, of course, had something to do with carrots. So we'd send him a carrot in the mail with the next proposal and different things like that. So send him a carrot cake, whatever. And then when he finally decided to go with us, he sent us a bunny, a real-life bunny. That was his way of telling us that we got the account because bunnies eat carrots.
Nice.
So he sent us a bunny with a carrot in the cage, and he said, congratulations, you guys got my business.
Nice.
So, and within a few months after that, he had a baby, and we sent him a pallet of carrot baby food.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Yeah, so just, you know, fun stuff like that.
That is sweet.
If you're not being fun and friendly and having a sense of humor, you're not going to last here more than 5 seconds. So
I think that's what I love so much about your culture is you see that everywhere. Lastly, and we're going to do the extended interview for the ChrisLicurdo.com readers. If you'll stick around and do that with us as well.
Sure.
But okay. You've also got some gifts that you're giving away. We're giving away some coffee. We're also giving away some discounts. That'll all be over at ChrisLicurdo.com. So make sure that you pop on over there and get that because it is spectacular. You've made me a customer, so I love that. But
absolutely.
Lastly, what is one last thing that you would love to tell the young David Morris from the David Morris who's where he is right now?
Right. I would love to tell David Morris who is 21 years ago, I'm 45, so I would have been 24. I would love to tell him to slow down a little tiny bit. Don't lose your personality, but slow down a little bit and do less things executed exceptionally.
Mm.
That's what I'd say.
I love it. We see that all the time. We see so many companies that are trying to, you know, do 17 different things because they feel like that's what's going to be the thing that grows them. And come to find out,
and
Jim Collins says it all the time, focus on the thing that you're great at. If you can focus on that, then everything else will come in. Well, David, thanks for doing this, man. I really appreciate that. Thanks for being a part. Hang out with us. We'll do the extended interview. And, folks, we're going to be giving away some fantastic coffee. So make sure that you come on over to ChrisLicurdo.com.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, I love that guy. I love that interview. I love the culture that they have with that business. David has done an incredible job, and it's very inspiring to see that, even for somebody who works in a great culture.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. What'd you get out of that?
He's just so creative with how he communicates with his team and how he inspires his team, you know, all the different things that they do together. I mean, you can tell that's how he's built the winning culture that he has. I mean, the whole story about the rolling desk, that was so much fun.
I agree with you, and I love having watched the videos, I've seen they've got videos online on YouTube. If you YouTube Delano's, and you can see the culture. You can see how much fun they actually have in their business. With they when they have their meetings, they do they give games or they do games, give stuff away, and it's just a blast.
It seems to be a common thread between great cultures is you know leaders that are creative and fun when it comes to recognition, inspiration, and communication.
Definitely. Yep. I think you hit it right on the head. Well, folks, we hope that you enjoyed that. Make sure that you go to chrislicurto.com so that you can get you some free coffee because we're going to be giving some coffee away there. We're also going to be giving some discounts as well. And then we're going to do the same thing next week with the extended interview. Announcements coming up this Thursday at 9 a.m. Central. We will be hosting the Entree Leadership Live Chat. Come stop by for an hour to kick off your workday and learn from fellow Entree leaders. Did we mention this is completely free? Bobby, did we mention this is free? Colin? It's free. Okay. I just want to make sure everybody knows it. This is free, folks. So make sure that you go to DaveRamsey.com/EntreeLeadership this Thursday and join in on the discussion. Also, remember to follow us at Twitter, at Entree Leadership, as well as at Chris Licurto, or email us your questions and comments to podcast@EntreeLeadership.com. And for your daily leadership, make sure that you go to ChrisLicurto.com and hit your subscribe. That will come to you every day. Incredible, amazing, phenomenal, life-changing, business-changing information, Becky.
Mm-hmm. And sign up for our newsletter.
And sign up for the newsletter. How do they do that, Becky?
You can go to DaveRamsey.com and click on the business tab.
There you go. You can get that newsletter. Same thing. If you want more Entree Leadership information, more lessons from Dave, make sure that you sign up for our next Entree Leadership Master Series that will be here at our headquarters in May 5th through the 11th. I can tell you this, it is absolutely life-changing. For more information on that, make sure that you go to DaveRamsey.com/EntreeLeadership or call the Entree Leadership team at 888-227-3223. Well, that puts another fantastic Entree Leadership podcast in the book. Have to thank the people who make this happen every single time. Chris Mefford, our executive producer. Colin Fatke and Bobby Robertson, our audio engineers. Becky Powell, our
Culture Club president.
Culture Club president. I gotta love that. Also, David Morris for being on the show, as well as Dave Ramsey. Now, folks, we hope that you take this information out there, change your leadership, change your business, and change your life. And join us on the next Entree Leadership Podcast.